And if you're at all possible, would you join with us in standing for the reading of the word of the Lord? 1 Samuel 20, verse number 35. This chapter, one that we looked at last Sunday morning, is the relationship between Saul and David has come under intense division. David was not there. His seat was empty. And I talked to you about questions from that empty seat, or that you have a seat in the place in the kingdom of God, and we certainly need to be faithful. This text that I have chosen today is one that a story that is really one of my favorite stories in the life of David, because it's so animated and so visual. But at the same time, it's one that I trust I can preach it right. It's not your traditional sermon. Matter of fact, I've got 17 biographies of King David in my library, and out of 17 of those, some being over 400 pages, no one touched upon this verse that I want to touch upon in David's life. So that lets you know, either you should ignore it and go on because there is nothing there, or else I've been where David's at, and there's just a nugget here that I'd like to look at. And in verse number 35, it said, "And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master, but the lad knew not anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, Go, carry them to the city." This story is, David is behind a stone right now, and he's been there waiting for David to come out and shoot these arrows. And if the arrows were going to be between Jonathan and the stone, David was to come back to the palace, everything was going to be well. But if Jonathan shot the arrows past David, it meant that he could not come back to the palace, but he had to move on. And Jonathan's words in verse number 37, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" I want to preach to you this morning about the arrows are beyond thee. Or for some, I really felt impressed today to tell you, it may be time for you to move on, to move forward. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this congregation. And Lord, in this great host, I know there are just innumerable amounts of different events going on in the lives of these people. So many probably are at different stages in life. But Father, we ask for your Spirit to speak to us today. And Father, I pray around this altar someone could move closer to the will of God, to follow after you in your voice and your leading. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's someone visiting with us, standing close to you, would you just turn around and shake their hand? Tell them we're so glad to have them in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Again, this story is just amazing to me in that David's next steps, the direction that he was to go, is going to be determined by the flight of three arrows. These three arrows I want to look at, and we're going to stay close to this text in 1 Samuel chapter number 20, three different passages throughout this chapter if you want to keep it open. But here's where David is at. And he's hiding behind this stone and he's waiting. And he's perplexed, he's confused, he's bewildered, and he's wondering. Now, you've got to remember that he's been anointed to be king. He knows ultimately where God wants him to be. But sometimes the path, getting from where you are at to where that you feel like you will ultimately end up, is not a straight line. Sometimes there are zigzags in the midst of God's will. You'll remember when the disciples heard the word of Jesus to say, get in a boat and go to the other side. That seems simple enough. They were fishermen. They were well acquainted with the sea and the boat. But in the midst of that journey from here to there, that great storm blew in to the point that fear gripped their heart. You could not convince them that Jesus did not tell them to get in the boat, nor could you have convinced them that Jesus did not tell them they were going to the other side. They believed both of those things, but getting from here to there sometimes is difficult. How many saved people do we have this morning in the house of the Lord? You know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, how many, if you're saved, how many believe you're going to heaven? Wasn't a trick question. You should have had both hands up on both questions. All right, here we are, and we know where we're going, but sometimes getting from here to there, people backslide. Getting from here to there, people get discouraged. Getting from here to there, people lose their faith. They get bitter. And so let's look at this unfolding story in the life of David. In the first arrow, let's talk about the beginning of this chapter in verse number 1. Most of us probably have asked this question because David comes back after a situation with Saul. And in the beginning of chapter number 20, he asked Jonathan, he said, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father? And why does he seek my life? Why do I have to go through this? I'm anointed to be king. I'm going to be the next king of Israel. Why do I have to go through what I'm going through? Now, maybe this would be a good point right here. You can dismiss the rest of the sermon, but I'm going to say probably 99.9% of us at times when things don't go well, or when sickness comes into our life, or when pressure arises, or when something comes in unexpectedly to our life, the first thing we do is we become introverted and looking at ourselves and saying, why? What have I done to deserve this? How did I fail God and now this sickness has come into my house? Or what have I done that this has come upon my wife or my children? And we start looking to find insecurities and failures in our life. But we don't find any of those in David's life. This is just going to be the unfolding drama and the plan of God. There are those that tell us if we have enough faith in God, you're never going to have any trouble. There are charismatics that'll tell us that if you need to be healed, just speak it and your words become your healing. Claim it and you will be healed. But yet I read in the New Testament, and we are New Testament believers, that our faith is going to be tried. That it's going to be tested, that it's going to be put in the furnace of life, and it's going to be tried. And you're not going to be able to articulate any answer. You're not going to be able to definitively say why you're going through what you're going through, except for the fact that he is God and he's trying to get me from here to there, and I'm not God and I don't know, and his ways are above my ways. But what I have to claim by faith is this, that I know that I'm saved, I know that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, and I know his word promised that I'm going to heaven. He did not tell me that it would always be sunshine. He said it would rain on the just and the unjust. He did tell me that many are the afflictions of the righteous. He did tell me that there would be days that my faith is tried, and at those trying times of life, I should not lose my praise. I should not stay out of the house of the Lord. I should not quit reading God's word. I should not blame anybody else. I should just know that, Lord, I've given my heart to you. I'm going to heaven, and whatever and however you've got to get me there, then, Lord, I'm going to stay the course, because know this, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to the beggarly elements of this world. That the worst day serving Jesus is better than the greatest day a sinner could ever have. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. That your worst day in this world saved is far better than the greatest day a sinner could ever have. And so I don't know why, but so many begin to ask, well, what did I do? Why me? Why me? I don't deserve this. I've tried to serve the Lord, and they beat themselves down into depression. They beat themselves down into guilt and condemnation, or some even get worse. They follow into bitterness and begin to blame other people and blame God for what's going on in their life. Amen. There's not a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or a preacher that can explain to you why that bad things happen to good people, except that it is life. That life is a few days and full of trouble. That we're going to have our bumps and bruises in this world. But friend, I'm not looking at this world being my final destination. That's what got so many people turned upside down. Amen. This is not your final destination. It's a dress rehearsal. It's but a brief span of time. The trumpet is going to sound, and we're leaving this world. I can leave this world with cancer, but I can't leave it with sin. I can leave this world with leukemia, but I can't leave it with sin. I can leave this world on a wheelchair, on walkers or crutches, but I can't leave it with sin. Amen. Oh, friend, you can leave this world broke, without a home. You can leave this world alone and without a job. But if that trumpet sounds and there's sin in your life, you're not going to that city. But the greatest thing I ever did was make a trip to the altar and say, Lord, would you be my Savior? Would you be my Lord? Would you forgive me of my sins? And it hasn't always been sunshine. There have been some bad days. There have been days I wanted to ask these questions. You're trying to do this and do that. Why is it going that way? And I really don't know. And I'm not going to spend my time trying to figure out that which I can never figure out. I just got to wipe my eyes and make sure that my eyes are clear. And I'm looking for the eastern sky. Because, brother, there's not a doubt. I believe that Jesus Christ could come today. And that is my hope. That is my joy. That is my song. That is why I'm in the house of the Lord today. But that first arrow represents asking yourself the question, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why do my children rebel? Why did I lose my job? Why did my husband die early? Why did I have to get a divorce? Those why questions will never be answered in this world. They simply will not. And there are bitter, depressed, bound people that sit around trying to figure out the answer to a question you're never going to figure out. And so you've got to just trust him. You've got to simply trust his word. That he said, if you will confess your sins, believe in your heart and confess with the mouth, the same shall be saved. I believed I'm saved this morning. He promised that we're going to a city where the Lamb is the light. I believe that this morning. So to get from here to there, I don't know what you've got to go through. But I know this, that do not begin to ask questions that cause bitterness, guilt, and condemnation in your life. Because a storm never indicates whether you're in the will of God or out of the will of God. You say, well, I've got storms this week. I must be out of the will of God. Not necessarily. Oh, sometimes storms are God's way of correcting us to bring us back in line with His will. But sometimes I have trouble trying to figure out whether it's God or the devil. Maybe you're far more spiritual. But Jonah was in a storm because he was out of the will of God. The disciples were in a storm because they were in the will of God. So how do we know whether the storm is because we're in the will of God or out of the will of God? You're the only one that knows if you're really out of the will of God. But Job's comforters thought he was out of the will of God, and he was right in the middle of the will of God. So you can't listen to everybody around you. You're the only one that knows. But here's what I know. I'm going to make it to the end of this thing. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. And that's what Job said. Though he slay me. He's taken everything. He's taken my money. My wife has turned against me. My children are gone. But Job said, I can take it one more step. I can take it to the very ultimate conclusion. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you love him enough like that this morning? Do you trust God enough that you can say, Lord, you can take everything. You can even take my life. But I'm still going to trust you to the end. That's why we sing about Polycarp, the martyr for the gospel saint. They tied him to a stake. They pierced him with the sword, and his blood ran down, but he would not curse the Lord. Amen. The fire would not consume him, but he still began to praise the Lord. And we say, he ain't never done me nothing but good. Amen. Those martyrs walked to the chopping blocks. They walked to the fiery pits of martyrdom, but they lifted up their hands and said, Lord, amen, you promised you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Hear me this morning. That first arrow may be beyond you. Maybe you're trying to go back into the past and figure out why and how come and why you. Amen, I'm telling you, that arrow is beyond you. Amen, you need to bury that thing. If there's bitterness or depression or discouragement that's seeking to bind up your praise, you need to bury that thing. And the will of God says, move on. Amen. Get past it. Write another chapter. Amen. Live another day. Pray another prayer. Sing another song. Live your life in the will of God. But you see, David didn't get the answer he wanted to that question, because later on in this chapter, in verses 8 through 11, we find the second arrow. And life became so difficult for David, he began to doubt even his best friend. Life can make you so defensive that you think everybody is against you. The nurse at the hospital, when she takes your blood, she's against you. The sweet little waitress that's got three kids working two jobs brought you Diet Coke instead of sweet tea, and she's against you. The mechanic forgot something, he's against you. You met people like that. I hope you is not one of them. I hope you don't live with one like that. David got to the point to where he thought everybody was against him. And when you think everybody is against you, you become an isolationist. You begin to withdraw. A defense mechanism takes over that says, nobody's ever going to hurt me. Nobody's going to hurt me because I'm not going to let anybody get close enough to hurt me. I'm not going to let them see me cry. I'm not going to let them see me sleep. I'm not going to let them see me have fear. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to close everybody out. And then some say, well, just doubt rules their life. Jesus loves you. Well, I really don't know that. Well, he wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Well, if he wanted me to have it, he'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. Well, here I am. I've been sitting here 20 years waiting on him to fill me. If he really wanted me to have it, he'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. Well, the church really loves you. Well, I don't know about that. Doubt. Doubt everybody and everything. That's where David was at. He knew Saul wanted to kill him. He was living in a state of fear, a state of panic. I'm not going to call it paranoia because they were actually out to kill him. But then David, the one that he could trust, Jonathan, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me your dad wanted to kill me? There's a step between me and death. Jonathan said, whoa, wait a minute. If I would have known about it, I would have told you. But I'm telling you, my dad would have told me that not anything little or small or great or small that he tells me if he wanted to kill me. But you see, Saul didn't tell Jonathan because he knew how much Jonathan loved David. But David began to doubt Jonathan. It's sad when people begin to doubt the church. The church could be such a blessing to some people. They just doubt everybody. Everybody's a hypocrite. Because when you're a hypocrite, you think everybody else is a hypocrite. You think everybody thinks like you do. I could tell you a person right now that is so lonely, so isolated, and it's this right here. Everybody's against them. Everybody's against them. Sometimes evangelizing, I could tell when a pastor felt this way. You could tell when he stepped into his pulpit if he felt like he was all alone. You could tell the way he preached. He was preaching from a defensive standpoint. He felt like he was all alone. And you've been there as well. You feel like nobody really cares about you. But you see, David, God's going to let your best friend shoot this arrow. And if you'll allow yourself to trust that arrow, really you're not trusting the arrow, you're trusting the hand of God. The arrows are beyond thee. You've got to move forward. And so, which brings me to that third arrow, and that is, which direction are you going to go? There is David, and he is huddled behind that stone. There's the arrows that are flying over top of him. And David's saying, but God wants me to be the king. Why would I be walking away from the palace when God wants me to be the king? I don't know. Except if David would have went back, maybe Saul would have killed him, and he never would have been able to be king. I've just got to trust the arrows of the Lord. And then when God says to move, you've got to move. And when you know the devil tries to get you to back up and to live in the past, and God's arrows are telling you to move forward, get past that bitterness, get past that hurt. Amen. It's 2008. It's not 1988. It's not 78 or 98. But it's a new day, and the arrows of God are still flying. And the blessings of God are still real. And God is still saving. And God is still filling with the Holy Ghost. And there are you huddled behind a rock. I wonder if God loves me. I'm wondering if God cares. Nobody really understands me. Why me, God? And you could die right there. But if you look up to heaven, God sent some messengers this morning to send some arrows to tell you that your better days are still in front of you, that the best things are yet to come, that God saves the best for last, and that's not the way that you have to go out. You don't have to go out defeated and discouraged. You don't have to go out full of doubt, being depressed, but you can leave knowing that you've got the joy of the Lord and the peace and the power of the Holy Ghost. The arrows are beyond thee. The path to where God wants to take you may be that you walk away from the thing that God's going to give to you. David, if he went back to the palace, maybe he would have had to fight for the throne. But obeying God and walking away from it, God said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm telling you, if you walk away instead of fighting for it, God's going to give it to you. And if God leads you away, he's going to give you enough strength for the journey. Make no mistake. At this point, it looked like David was walking away from the throne, but not really. God's going to bring it full circle. And one day God is going to put him upon the throne of Israel. But make no mistake about this either, that sometimes life has intense moments of pain. And how you deal with those determines your level of receiving God's blessing. Because here's David. I wish I could paint this story like I feel it in my heart. There's David, the king. There's David, that ruddy shepherd boy that's grown up. There's David huddled behind a rock. And I think we could say from the text earlier that David's wanting to go back to the palace. He's wanting to go back to his life with Jonathan and to normality. He's not wanting to fight with Saul. He didn't ask to be king. God chose him to be king. He's just wanting to go back to normality. But as he sits there, he watches that arrow. And that arrow passes him and lands beyond him. David knows that he's getting ready to walk away from the best friend in his world. And there's only one more meeting between him and Jonathan the rest of their days. So David gets himself together and he kisses the ground. It's full of pain. I've watched that at funerals when that widow laid her husband to rest. That arrow was beyond them. And there was intense suffering and pain. I've watched it as children laid their parents to rest. That arrow is beyond thee. Even in my own life, I remember at 17 years old, I could count on this times how many times I've seen my dad cry. But I remember Brother Otis standing in our church parking lot, 17 years old with my car packed, getting ready to leave to go to Missouri to go to college, turning around, and my dad crying. Because he knew and I knew it was never going to be the same. It was time to leave home. Oh, I knew where the arrow was leading me. And if I wanted the blessings of the Lord, I had to follow the arrow of the Lord. Hear me today, somebody, you're not saved. To this point, you've been afraid to trust Jesus as your Savior. I'm telling you, the arrow is beyond thee. He's never going to do you anything but good. He wants to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Somebody here that's wrestling with something that's happened in your past. Right now, bitterness or depression or discouragement, bondage has grabbed hold of your praise. I'm telling you, that arrow is beyond you. You can get past it. There's better days ahead of you. God will save the best for the last if you're willing to leave where you're at and see that the arrow, it's beyond you. You can't stay where you're at. It's beyond you. So with courage this morning, would you say, Lord, I want your blessings in my life. Lord, you want to save me today. Lord, you want to bless me today. Lord, you want to heal me today. Lord, you'd like to put my home back together. Lord, you'd like just to give me peace today. And Lord, I'm really ready to leave where I'm at. Lord, I'm willing to crawl out from behind this stone of obscurity. Lord, I'm willing to reveal myself and show my inadequacies and say, Lord, I'm moving on. Would you stand with me all over this building this morning? The stone can only hide you for so long. But the arrow, it's beyond you. Why me? Why? Why did this have to happen to my family, my children? Are you doubting the love of God this morning? Do you doubt the ability of the Savior? Do you doubt the sincerity of the church and the saints of God? And that third arrow, which direction are you going to go? If you go back to the palace, there's going to be war and fighting. And you're going to keep living like you're living. But if you'll follow the arrow of the Lord, God has a path set. Because you see, God anointed you and he hasn't forgot about it. David, he knows where he's taking you. I see where you're at this morning. And I know where God wants you to be. Are you headed that direction? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you for your word.